You're listening to the Newsmakers Podcast from MLB.com.
This is the Rocket, Bill Latson. Welcome to the Newsmakers. I'm at the winter meetings in Washington, D.C., and I had a great conversation with Harold Reynolds of the MLB Network. And later in the podcast, Tim McMaster and I had an interesting conversation with Padres manager Andy Green. Enjoy the podcast, everybody. I'm with Harold Reynolds on MLB Network. Harold, thank you so much for being with me. What has surprised you regarding the winter meetings so far?
Well, I think the big surprise is how many players are up for trade, and young players. You know, even Chris Sale getting traded. I know they said, hey, we got some young upside talent. But Chris Sale's a young man, so you're trading young for young. But to me, the surprise is not that there are trades being made, but it's the number of guys that we're giving up on, like Andrew McCutchen's names in there. Andrew McCutchen's 30 years old, that's the big surprise to me.
What do you think of the sales trade? Who do you think won that deal?
Well, it's always with prospects, hard to tell. Clearly, Boston right now, I mean, you got every year the guy's two or three or one in the Cy Young Award. I mean, he's going to be there again. He's a tremendous pitcher. And I think the Red Sox are ready to win. So as the summer goes and you see the season and Chris Sale's going to be pitching some big games and you're going to walk away and go, they won that trade, but Moncado's going to be a guy that we look back on, I think, is really going to put up some big numbers. I don't think he had the thing I like about the trade, I don't think Moncada had a place to play in Boston. You got Pedroia locked up. You got to play Pablo Sandoval. You don't give him $90 million and just say, oh, he was hurt and not going to play. And Moncada was blocked. So I like the fact they let the young man find somewhere to play, and they got a great pitcher back for him.
The AL East is going to be tough. What do you think?
Well, Boston's the favorite for me. I mean, they were the favorite last year. They were loaded, and without Chris Sale, they were loaded. I think that organization's going in a great direction. The Yankees are still going to be a wild card team. What are they going to do? Well, I'm not saying they'll be a wild card making the playoffs. I'm saying they're a wild card. Are they going to keep playing young players? Are they going to go get some trades and get some veteran guys? Or are they loading up for the big class coming in 2018? So that's an unknown that you've never thought the Yankees would be in. And so that changes the division for me. Baltimore, I don't know if they have the finances to keep up with the arms race. So those are the three front runners for me.
What about, besides the Red Sox, who do you think is the winner at this winter meeting so far?
Well, I still think it's to be determined. Sometimes it's the clubs that don't do anything that go on and get out of here. It's kind of been slow, the winter meeting so far. It's almost like you don't even think about moves that were made. But I think in the next couple of days, a lot of teams, believe it or not, are looking at Rule 5 draft. And the Rule 5 may determine who walks out of here the winner.
So far, the Nationals have come up empty. They were looking at Sale and looking at McCutchen. What do you think of that?
Well, I think they're going to end up with McCutchen. I really do. They're a club very similar to Boston. It's win now. And I think they know that. They could get by without having a center fielder and putting Harper in center. But McCutchen takes them to another level. I think they go get him.
What about the Cubs, other than the bullpen? Do they need to make any changes considering they're the champs?
They got some young players that are coming. They're going to continue to be a team. They got to figure out what's going to happen with Kyle Schwarber, though. Where's he going to play? So I think sometimes they got too many players. When you look at it and you sit there and you go, all right, you've got Schwarber, you have can't think of the kids, Amara, you got Contreras behind the plate. You got all these young guys. You got to get them playing time. Even Baez, you got to figure out, because at the beginning of the year, Ben Zobrist played second. You got to figure out how they're going to get these guys to play.
I mean, that's really a talented team, and hard to believe that we're saying the Cubs are the champs.
How about that? But you know what? Theo Epstein did a fantastic job putting this team together, and at the end of the day, the players performed. They got it done. And they played real well.
Also, is there any team that should be making a move right now, you think? Any team you're worried about?
Well, I look around. I see a few teams that, you know, you always want to see teams try to improve. Not one jumps out in my radar. I think there's several clubs that I think should really be making moves. I think Cincinnati Reds are kind of caught in the middle. Mm-hmm. We're going to hang on to Votto. We're going to hang on to Phillips. You know, hopefully we'll get off to a good start. Maybe. I think they got to make a decision to say, hey, we're going to move these guys.
A final question. So far for next year, who do you like to go all the way?
Well, the Cubs are going to be the favorite in the National League. I really like the Giants. You know, I like what they dubbed. Melanson is big. If you look back at the beginning of the year, last year, first half, the Giants were the team to beat, you know, even above the Cubs. And they didn't have a bullpen to shut it down. So you got to throw that club in there. And then the Red Sox. The Red Sox, to me, are the best team right now, man for man in baseball.
Howell Reynolds, thank you so much.
Okay, my friend. Thank you, buddy.
We're talking San Diego Padres baseball. Andy Green, manager of the Padres, joining us on the couch. Bill Latson as well. And Andy, second year, so going through this whole winter meetings thing as a manager again, is it different this time around as opposed to when you were here a year ago?
I think you get a little bit more acclimated to the grind as the years pass by, but you know, it's exciting where we are as an organization trying to build for the future right now. It's a different place than where we were when we came in last year. Kind of came in here with a veteran-laden roster, and now we got a roster with nobody over 30 years old on it right now, and some excitement for the future, but work to do ahead of us.
You have some young talent, Will Myers, Solarte, and you've also lost a lot of pitching too. Could you talk about some of the players we should expect to see next year?
Yeah, obviously Will and Yenhervis Solarte who kind of anchor us offensively. Like, Will was just off missing a 30-30 campaign. It was an all-star year for him. It was his first year with like 550, 600 at-bats in the major leagues, and I think he felt what that was like. But, you know, he's a piece we think will anchor us for the foreseeable future. And Solarte, he went through a lot last year. He ends up having a good year statistically. From a personal perspective, his wife battled cancer. She lost that battle. Because what's like so amazing about him, he still managed to show up and play baseball with a smile on his face with all that going on. But those are our two like anchor pieces. Ryan Schimpf hits over 20 home runs for us last year as a rookie. And I think we're really excited about the group of four guys that came up late in the season for us. When you look at Hunter Renfroe out in the outfield, PCL MVP, Austin Hedges is a catcher for the future for us that we're excited about. Carlos Asuaje was a PCL newcomer of the year, and he showed up in the big leagues for us. It's a really exciting group as we look forward to the future, and especially with Manny Margot. That's a guy that, like, you think is a huge piece to a team for a long time.
Schimpf was a player for you guys, especially late last year. Could you talk about what he could do for this team next year?
Yeah, you know, Ryan Schimpf had the track record through the minor leagues of every year a guy hits 20 home runs, and every year the guy gets overlooked by the organization he was in. He was in Toronto. We picked him up as his first year as a minor league free agent. Our scouts identified him as a prime target. I remember talking to him about this time last year about kind of the opportunity that was out in front of him, and he chose to sign with us. He started in the minor leagues, absolutely dominated down there, and by the time he shows up in the big leagues, he's still doing everything he always did in the minor leagues, which is hitting over 20 home runs, which is walking it above a 10% clip and turning into like a really good offensive threat for us, kind of middle of the order threat. And it's a tribute to our scouts that they go out and identify that kind of undervalued talent and then put it in play at the major league level.
Not many people are expecting this team to compete against the Dodgers and the Giants, but I know you're thinking differently. Tell me why this team will be competitive this year.
I think, like, in some way, you don't ever pay attention to external expectations. I don't care if you're Joe Maddon leading the Cubs. He's trying to get everybody to embrace the target and kind of change that narrative. I think when the outside world looks inside at us, the expectation is that you're not going to compete. I think we have to shed that label just as much as the Cubs had to shed the pressure that came with their label. So I think we go into the season with the expectation internally of fighting to win every single baseball game. We recognize the odds that are stacked against us. We recognize that a lot of our financial resources and build is for the future. But these guys are going to put a Padre uniform on this year. They're going to show up to compete every day. And we're going to create the internal expectation that we're going to win that particular game and then let the big picture take care of itself from there.
This is your second year as manager. What do you expect to do differently as you, you know, differently than you did your first year?
I think you learn and you grow. I think one of the biggest changes for me sliding from a major league coach to a major league manager job is now you have an entire staff to manage. You got 8 guys on your staff. You got Mark McGwire and Darren Balsley and Glenn Hoffman and Alan Zinner and a number of other guys. And you actually work through those guys. When you're managing in the minor leagues, when you're coaching in the major leagues, you're putting your hands on the players. So it was a change for me. I feel as time passed, I got more comfortable with that role and enjoyed that and love the staff we've put together in San Diego. I think, you know, you get better at managing men as you move on, and it's always about relationships and building those relationships.
Another question on Will Myers. He's a guy who's obviously a very top prospect in baseball with the Royals. Then he goes to Tampa Bay, and then he ends up in San Diego. He moved around so much early, and it almost seemed like it affected him a little bit, but now it seemed like in 2016 really found a home with the Padres. And I know the Padres would like to keep that his home. How much thought is there into that? And how rewarding as a manager was it to see a guy really come into his own over the course of a season?
There's nothing more fun than watching your players like succeed and take a step forward in their career, knowing what it does for them and their family and the team and the city. Will definitely took some huge steps forward this year and kind of settled into his role as a first baseman in San Diego. I think we've made very public our desire to extend Will, to keep him a part of our team and kind of the fabric of our community for the years ahead. And I'm hopeful that happens. Obviously, there's negotiations that go on there, but I think Will is a guy that we'd love to be kind of a cornerstone piece for us.
Tyson Ross is now a free agent. Is there a possibility he could be back? I know you had the shoulder injury, but you guys could hopefully bring him back to health.
Yeah, I think with Tyson, we want him in the Padre organization. With the health stuff he went through this year, it was an enormous financial commitment at the $10 million mark to tender him a contract, knowing that he does have some battles ahead to be healthy and be on the field for next year. So this being going into his free agent year and not having control of him past this year, it just wasn't the appropriate risk for where we found ourselves at this point in time. That said, like, Tyson is one of the best people you'll ever be around in your life. Tyson is a tremendous leader, and there's nobody that's going to outwork him. And we're all very hopeful that he chooses to re-sign with us. And we're hopeful that, you know, we get the opportunity to kind of bring him back to health and back to who he's been in the past.
You mentioned all the young players, obviously, and a lot of those guys came over in trades as this team kind of made that decision to develop and to rebuild a little bit. Those moves can pay off, and they can be risky as well if you don't get the right guys. But it seems like you're real confident that in the trade of Pomerantz and in the trade of Kimbrel, you guys really nailed it as far as the talent that you got back.
I think those guys are really exciting. I mean, they're prospects, and I think the goal is you acquire so many of them that you have waves and waves of talent showing up at the major league level. When you look at the Kimbrel trade to start, and there's a guy down in A-ball and Logan Allen that, like, we as an organization really believe in, and he's not the Manny Margot and the Carlos Asuaje that's, like, already showing up at the major league level and impacting us there. He's a long way off, but we're equally as excited about him. And, you know, in Drew Pomeranz, we got Anderson Espinosa back, and Fernando Rodney, we got Chris Paddock back. We think both of those guys are, like, have every opportunity to pitch at the front end of a rotation in the major leagues, and they fit our timetable. With what we're building towards, it's exciting to have that kind of talent. It's exciting to have our ownership make an incredible investment in the international market and sign guys like Adrian Moyhone and like invest over $60 million and still counting. It'd be the last time that ever happens with a new CBA, right? You know, with that change, like, that's the last time that ever happens. So our organization from our ownership level is firmly committed to making this team great in the future, and I think all those guys, as you've pointed out, it's exciting to have them.
You started your career with the Diamondbacks, and you were a player, now you're a manager. Could you talk about some of your mentors who helped you get to where you are today?
Yeah, you can go all the way back to your high school basketball coach and your college baseball coach, but when it got to pro ball, like, Chip Hale was a profound influence on me. He gave me my first job in the major leagues as a coach, and then also coached me when I was a minor league player. Tony La Russa had a profound impact on me as well. When I got the opportunity to coach at the major league level, Tony was a big part of that, and I've had countless conversations with him. But it's not just the managers that impact you. It's also like when you look on your bench when you're in the major leagues, and I played with guys like Sean Green and Tony Clark and Quentin McCracken and Craig Counsell and Damian Easley, and these guys were the veteran core of guys that I looked up to, and I don't think there's a better group of five guys that you could possibly have played with, and you don't realize how special those guys are until you look up and one's heading the union and one's managing another ball club and one's a farm director, and you're like, I was around some great people that kind of taught me the game.
Good. Andy Green, thanks so much for joining us. Bill Latson, great stuff as always. And hey, enjoy what's left here of the winter meetings.
Appreciate it. Thanks, guys.